Live from the Richard Harris Law Firm studios, this is the VGK Insider Show with Darren Millard and Ryan Wallace on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Welcome in, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas. Ryan Wallace, Darren Millard, Danny Smythe. Live inside the Richard Harris Law Firm studios, Richard Harris Law Firm, where they've won billions for their clients with their less fee guarantee. How we doing, boys?
There's a noticeable difference between you on game day and you and not on game day.
In what way?
You're more relaxed. You're chill. You're just hanging out.
This is actually 2 days in a row without a game day.
Yeah.
So I'm like on the beach.
Yeah.
Kicking the feet up.
You got the umbrella in the drink.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You're ready to go.
Yes.
Like just holding it up going, come on, barkeep, beach barkeep. There's nothing like a beach barkeep.
Send me another pina colada.
When you got the chair in the sand and you got bar service, drink service,
got sunscreen
lounger,
on my nose.
That is outstanding. No, you can't do the zinc. Can't do it. Just wear a big floppy hat.
It's fine.
The floppy hat is where it's at right now. And long sleeves, ladies and gentlemen, long sleeves. Or those sun sleeves that they sell now.
No, you're right on the money. Like the sun shirts are the right play for sure.
They used to just be for the kids.
Yeah.
Now everybody's wearing them, and because you can wear them in the water, out, they dry off quickly.
Oh yeah.
It's really good. I've the cool factor goes out the window a little bit, but I'm fine with that. If I don't have to keep lathering up that stuff.
Or
spraying it on.
I had no idea you were like against sunscreen.
No, I think it's really important. But
yes.
if I can get away from
not
doing it, because
it.
I'm not the most timely person at the reapplication. So I'm great going, I'm all suited up and ready to go. And then like 4 hours later, I forgot to reapply, or I'm on the golf course and I forgot to reapply. And then I've got this red stripe going down my nose and
big burnt arms.
I'm big burnt arms on the arms.
Wow.
Being big.
Big. Huge.
But burnt.
Rippling biceps.
Huge, huge. My doctor said, are you keeping up with your weight training? Because it's important at my stage of life. And I'm like, look at me. He's like, yeah, you're doing just fine. You're doing just fine, kid. We got a nice little schedule in the National Hockey League tonight. Second day between games for the Vegas Golden Knights. They did practice this afternoon at Prudential Center in New Jersey, where they will face the New Jersey Devils tomorrow. And then they will round out the New York part of the trip with games against the Rangers on Sunday and the Islanders on Tuesday. It's a five-game road trip in its entirety, and the Golden Knights trying to get back to what has been traditionally a very good month of December with this franchise.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, their records in December had been phenomenal last year under Bruce Cassidy, 10-2 in the month of December. So you look at that. Obviously, you'd like to replicate that as much as possible this year from a Golden Knights perspective. And, you know, you're coming off of two wins at home, right? Against San Jose, against Chicago. You're able to hit the road with a little bit of momentum, and hopefully for the Golden Knights, they're able to carry that into, you know, the first game here tomorrow against the Devils.
Yeah, I don't know why Vegas has always been so good in December, but they've always been really good in October. So you just follow the highs and lows of an NHL season, and maybe it is as simple as that, where you get off to a great start and then teams get better, or it's difficult to maintain that type of pace through an entire season for longer than 4 or 5 weeks at a time. So there's that inevitable drop-off that you get in November and in January, too. Like those November and January have not been kind to the Vegas Golden Knights, but October and December have been brilliant. So it's following a pattern for Vegas. So as long as they're great in October, expect things to be great in December as sort of a bounce back month for the team.
I think that's a really good way of looking at it. Now, ebbs and flows will happen, right? Like we all know that's going to be a thing that happens. And, you know, I think you look at this past November for the Golden Knights and, you know, you can't really have the conversation about the team without talking about the injuries that they were dealing with and are still dealing with. No William Karlsson, no Jeremy Lozon, no Aiden Hill, though that's remedied a bit. Now you've got Mark Stone back in tow. So there's a lot to like about, you know, where the Golden Knights are at right now in relation to where they were at the start of November, just from a healthy bodies in the lineup perspective.
And what you're seeing is the Golden Knights able to get points out of games with those six regulation losses, third in the National Hockey League. Only two teams have fewer in the NHL. By being able to accumulate points through games and grab something out of maybe games that they didn't have their best is significant because as they turn the corner and start to reach the point where they're regularly grabbing 2 points out of games, you're watching the other clubs that got off to great starts that were a bit surprising, those younger teams, fall back a little bit. Anaheim is not producing solid performances at the pace they were prior to. Utah Mammoth aren't as good as they were at the start of the year. San Jose Sharks have fallen back a little bit. Seattle Kraken, they are not on the same type of level that they were for the first month and a half of the season. Chicago Blackhawks, same type of thing. So the Golden Knights, by being able to just pick up points in 20 of 26 games, have position themselves very well as the younger team. Bruce Cassidy talks about this all the time. Mm-hmm. They're young. They're enthusiastic. They're very talented. They have good coaching. But the National Hockey League schedule of 82 games, next year 84, is a grind. And it's hard to maintain that level. And you do have to find some rhythm in your schedule. Mm-hmm. And while the wins aren't there where Vegas would like them, the points have been out of games, and that's why going into tonight, Vegas is only a point out of mm-hmm. first place yeah. in a season that you would say has offered up its challenges.
Like, okay, the perfect way to illustrate what you're talking about here is that the Golden Knights have lost 14 times, right? Like, if you want to look at the games in which they haven't won, they've lost 14 times, but 8 of them have been beyond regulation. And so those 8 points make up a lot of the ground that Anaheim had at certain points during the season. And, you know, when you think about it from that perspective, Anaheim, they've only lost 11 times, but they have not been able to get games to regulation. They have not been able to, you know, lose with a purpose to a certain degree or get something out of a loss like the Golden Knights have. And that's why they're 1 point back. That's why the Golden Knights have a better points percentage than the Anaheim Ducks do. And it's why the Golden Knights, even if they weren't playing their best, or it's been a bit more uneven than what we're accustomed to, they're right at the top of the division. And those overtime losses, those points on the board in those 8 others, really do close the gap and are not necessarily the worst thing in the world when you're still trying to sort your game out.
Let's dig into the Golden Knights record, because mm-hmm. You talked about wins and losses.
Sure.
There. Were you... And the way you position that is different than I see it.
Sure.
Is that the way you view it overall?
It's not.
Or was that just the argument against Anaheim?
It's just proving a point, right? Like, if you look at...
So how do you look at the Golden Knights record?
I look at overtime losses as ties. I don't view overtime losses as true losses. And like, I know that a lot of people are probably rolling their eyes at that, but overtime losses to me are not losses. They're just ties. You have to have a winner. You have to have a loser. Like, that is part and parcel with where the NHL is right now. But I remember watching this league when ties were a thing. And so I just look at overtime losses, shootout losses. Those to me are ties.
I don't remember ties.
You really don't?
No.
Okay.
I know I watched it with ties.
Yeah.
But I don't remember it. And it's been a long time since we dealt with it. So the idea of playing a good game and losing in overtime mm-hmm. or then the shootout has been around for a long time. I look at records, and this goes for every team. I look at their records to 500 just on the first two columns, wins and losses.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is, if you want to call it ties, call it ties. But I don't factor those OT or OTS for the shootout, that column, as losses.
Sure.
So Colorado would be 18 games above 500. The Dallas Stars would be 13 games above 500.
That's fair.
The Vegas Golden Knights are 6 games above 500, the same as the Anaheim Ducks right now. And that's the way I evaluate good season, mediocre season, or bad season. And it's a little untraditional to look at it at a Eastern Conference, for instance, where every team, based on my assessment of it, is within one game of 500. Buffalo is the only team below that, and they're 11, 12, and 4.
Sure.
But for this conversation, 11 and 12, they're the only team below it. So it's to tell somebody from the early 80s, like every team in the East is 500, they'd be like, what?
How's that even
possible? But you have teams winning games and other teams recording that overtime loss, and the loss isn't a true L for this argument. So for Vegas, you've got the disappointment of the OT, OTS, but you're in games where you're grabbing a win or you're walking out with nothing. You're 6 games to the positive, which I think is still a strong start, something that you can build on. You're a 6.15 points percentage when I looked at it earlier today.
Yep.
10 of your 12 wins are regulation. Now, there's certain things that you'd like to improve on. Certainly goals for, goals against, you'd like a little bit more separation. You are in the plus, but just by a smidge. And you would like to develop a little more consistency in your game. It's been a while since they went on any type of stretch. They've won 2 games in a row, but the season high is 4, and that was way back in October. So you'd like a little bit more positive run to their game. But for the contextual standpoint of the record, they're 6 games over 500, as opposed to factoring in those losses and being, which if you factor in the OT or the OTS, you'd be below 500.
Yeah,
and I don't think that's accurate. I'm curious what the listeners and the VGK fans think about it. Send us a text on the line 702-876-1340. It's open right now. Danny's able to read your text and forward them on to us and let us know exactly where you're standing. How do you evaluate the record compared to just regulation wins to regulation losses, not regulation wins, but and it's a little bit I just worked my way into it. Like you can win, I'm counting regulation wins and overtime or shootout wins in the same column.
Sure.
So it's, you might call me a hypocrite here, but it's just the way I evaluate it, because I'm not counting overtime or shootout losses
right
in the loss column. Do you see it the same way as me?
That's why I look at them as ties. And like, I fully recognize that that's not the perfect way to look at it either. And I'll be interested to see what we get on the text line, the Finley Kia text line, 702-876-1340, because I think a lot of fans look at those two numbers, the loss and the overtime loss, and they combine them together. And I'm leaning that way because I've seen quite a bit on the text line after overtime losses about the overall, the total amount of losses so far this season as being, you know, the antithesis of what we're used to with the Golden Knights. So I'll be interested to see what people say, but that's why I just look at that column as if it were ties. You get a point out of the game, you're 500 for the game, you kind of put that one in a box by itself, and you take the point and move on to the next one.
Peter checks in and says, how do we stack up against Anaheim right now? I think you're better than Anaheim right now. You're a point back, but you've got more of a veteran presence, and I'm not taking anything away from what the Ducks have done. They were the darlings of the preseason. They were a team that got a lot of love coming into this campaign, but they've fallen off. They're without their top two goaltenders in Dostal and Mrazek right now. They will be challenged, and that's not long term without those two players. But you're a week and a half without Dostal, and 2 to 3 weeks without Mrazek, and you're down to third and fourth within your organization. And we'll see what Husso, who's going to get the majority of the starts, although he got yanked last night. We'll see what happens. Just the being used to handling the rigors of a National Hockey League schedule, I think, is going to allow Vegas a little more of an advantage over a team that's going to suffer through more of a learning curve in the Anaheim Ducks.
Well, now's the time to create separation if you can, if you're the Golden Knights, right? Like, you are getting healthier at the goaltending position, in just in terms of having Carter Hart available to you now. You've got Hart and Schmid. Those two guys are the 1-2 punch for the Golden Knights between the pipes moving forward. And Anaheim, you mentioned it, a young team that had a great start, is now dealing with some of the some of the setbacks that the Golden Knights did in terms of not having their number one goaltender. Now they don't have their number one or number two goaltender. That's going to be a tough thing to play through. And if they get through it well, they'll be better for it. But, the Golden Knights are a veteran enough team to be able to kind of hold their heads above water when they didn't have Aiden Hill. We'll see if the Anaheim Ducks are able to do something similar in this moment. And if they can't, then it's an opportunity for the Golden Knights to put points in the bank and create some separation.
When you do reach out to us on the Findlay text line, tell us where you're listening to us from. Are you in the Las Vegas Valley? Are you listening on the stream from Lotus Broadcasting? Curious. So where all of our VGK fans are checking in from. Spearman with a great one. We won on Saturday. We won yesterday. That's two in a row. If we win Friday, that's called a winning streak. It's happened before. That's optimistic. Yeah. On the Findlay text line.
Yeah, he sent me that after the win the other day against Chicago.
Are you trying to one-up me on him texting?
No,
that's what you just did.
I'm just saying
Spearman,
that that's
Spearman,
that's
don't take this the wrong the way. You keep texting. You keep texting, even though Ryan's trying to one-up that you've already sent that text.
All I'm saying is he sent the same message twice.
You keep on sending it. Robert says they've been playing slightly above average hockey. I expected more from this team, especially with the investments they've made. So, Robert, slightly above average hockey with all the significant injuries they've had, I think is pretty good. Now, you would hope that there would be a bump with the return of Mark Stone and the availability of Carter Hart once he gets into a rhythm. We'll see where it goes. But I think we're watching a team that's trending towards that area that you are looking for, Robert, which is really good hockey to great hockey. And results, because I said it before, their play has been a little bit better. Now, the other night, I thought Chicago played a really good hockey game, and Vegas grabbed 2 points where maybe 2 points weren't necessarily available on another night. They found a way to win, so there was a bit of evening out from the hockey gods.
Oh, for sure. I think, you look at the Chicago game, I don't think it was the Golden Knights' best game, right? Like, I don't think it was their A game, but when this team has been able to roll, they have had stretches where they've been able to win games. They've been able to pull 2 points with maybe their B game. And, because you're not going to have your A game every single night, but when you do have it, you should win. And when you have your B game, a team like the Golden Knights should be able to find 2 points. And they did against Chicago. That, to me, is indicative of a team that is on the cusp of kind of finding their footing and finding their way to 2 points more regularly than they have to this point. And, again, all you got to do is go on a bit of a run, right? Like, they've got a 4-game win streak so far this season. You want to see that again here because it's a great opportunity to pull away a little bit in the division. And if the Golden Knights are able to do that, gain traction there, then, everything is kind of right in the world and where you expected it to be coming into the year, as we inch closer and closer to the new year.
Jason is listening as he drives to work right now, and he says, I really hope Vegas can carry over those last two wins and take momentum on the road with them. Here's a good one from Andy, and I appreciate this because he's sort of just trying to digest what a record is in the modern NHL. And I call it the record, like, six games over 500 in the modern NHL.
Mm-hmm.
So Andy says, help me on this. If a team is 5-3-2 after 10 games, are they considered at 500 because they have 5 wins and 5 losses? Or are they over 500 because they have more than 10 out of a possible 20 points with 12? Thanks. Mm-hmm. So 5-3-2. And this is what I'm getting at with the record right now at 12-6-8. And we'll just go with Andy's example. 5-3-2. That is a record that I interpret to be 2 games over NHL 500 because you have more points gained than lost to points available because of those two others, whether they be a shootout or overtime loss. So, Andy, that's I'm going with the over 500 part of that, but great question for clarification.
Yeah, and you can, I mean, you know, the reality of the situation is just work out the points and pay attention to the points percentage. So 12 points out of 20 is a 600 points percentage. So again, in the National Hockey League, if you're sitting around 600, 610, 615, 620, like that's really good and will likely get you into the playoffs. So, you know, total points matter more than what the record says in terms of the columns and the wins and the losses and all of that.
You know what would fix a lot of this?
3-2-1-0 point system.
A 3-point system. 3 points available for every game.
Yes.
And then you divide it. If you win in regulation, you get 3 points. It's like soccer for those that that watch European football. You get 3 points for a win.
Mm-hmm.
You get 2 points for a victory beyond regulation. And you get 1 point if you lose beyond regulation. And now that they're going to an 84-game schedule, I've talked about this with John Shannon. Now's the perfect time to change the point allocation per game and what's available. Because you're going back to 84, so if you're a traditionalist and you say records, we can't alter it because it'll skew the historic marks. Well, you're going to 84. We used to have like 48, and then we went to 70, or 68, and we went to 70, and 72, 80. And we have been at 84 for a while. Then we've gone back to 80, 82. Now's the time to do it. And Tom, just want to let you know, we got your text. You were dictating it over the phone, is stuck in traffic in Chicago. Big surprise. and it's comes with chapters by the looks of it, your message. I'm going to read it during the commercial break, and then I'll play off it, and I'll give you an answer to your questions. It's the VGK Insider Show. We continue on this Thursday on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
We're back to the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show on Fox Sports Las Vegas, 98.9 FM and 1340 AM.
Teams on the road are getting set for a 5-game trip that will start with the New York portion of the junket. New Jersey Devils, New York Rangers, New York Islanders. That's the order that they'll play the three New York area teams. While they're on the road, players will be rehabbing, those that are not on the trip, rehabbing back home. And we've also got something really cool going on tomorrow. Hmm. I can't tell you about it just yet. But next week, I'll be able to fill you in, and you'll be able to see a little bit of it on social media over the course of the weekend. But we got something really cool, neat, a little crossover happening from the hockey world into another genre that's going to take place tomorrow. And I'm curious whether you'll be like, oh, that's really cool, or, it's just another day over at City National Arena. But we'll keep you up to date with that. Darren Millard in Studio 31. Ryan Wallace, are you at home today, or are you over in the home office of Lotus Broadcasting?
I am here at Lotus Broadcasting. I can see Danny Smythe right in front of me.
Oh, right. So Danny Smythe is, I thought his name was S-M-Y-T-H-E.
Yes, he did.
But it's not.
It is
it's
not that.
SMYTH.
No. Yeah.
Danny's going to be contributing to our Paul Padilla Hockey Parlay Contest with a game. We all supply a game. And if the lucky caller picks all three winners correctly, they will win the jackpot, playing for $100 this week. So he puts the game that he selected to choose from in the rundown, and there's his name. And I'm like, wow, like, how do people say your name? Is it Smith? Is it Smythe? And because I would say Smith all the time. Danny, why do you go Smythe?
I was told that was the last name. You just told me to do it.
Have you ever thought of switching over? Like,
no.
How many people, when you say your name, would go the proper pronunciation?
I have maybe met 5 to 10 people in my life who have pronounced it correctly on the first try.
Yeah, you know what? And I would say they're spelling or pronouncing it incorrectly on the first try, and they just got lucky.
No.
So Ryan Smith, former yes. National Hockey League player,
yep.
he spells it the exact same way as you. But he goes Smith, not Smythe.
Now, I think Smythe, he pronounces it wrong.
Ooh, this is a controversy.
Smythe with an E is a very famous hockey name. Conn Smythe, and then you had the Smythe Division named after Conn Smythe. But that was with the E. And that I would get. But I'm interested and intrigued that it's Smythe. And now I'm going to be all in my own head.
Yeah, you
when
will.
I talk to you about it.
Well, you're welcome. It'll give you a lot to think about this weekend.
He doesn't need more to think about.
That's awesome. The text line is open. A couple of texts coming in. And to Tom. And Tom is in Chicago, sitting on the Dan Ryan Expressway. And if you've been to Chicago, you know you're in traffic. It is one of the craziest cities. I think Chicago traffic is worse than anywhere else. And I haven't been everywhere, but I would put it up there as the worst traffic that of any city that I've been to, whether it's Vancouver with all the bridges, New York with the population, Houston, Chicago always seems to just grind to a halt. But thanks for your message, Tom. Appreciate it. All the kind words as you listen to the show with Ryan and I on Fox Sports Las Vegas. Rick says 2 points for a win, 1 point for a loss in any sport. How do you get 1 point if it's a loss? I'm with you there, Rick. That's why you go to a three-point system. Mm-hmm. Vicky, listening at home today, says, call me cautiously optimistic. I think things have turned a corner in December and hope that December follows the tradition. And she likes the 3-2-1-0 point system as well.
Everyone should like the 3-2-1-0 point system. Everybody. Because it standardizes every single game. Every game now becomes worth the same amount of points as any other game. You'll never have one game be for three, one game be for two. Like it standardizes everything. It makes sure that, you know, you've got clear advantage for winning in regulation, and you divvy up the points for a win or a loss beyond regulation. Like, it just makes sense.
Rob checks in and says he's in his car. He's on his way home from work here in Vegas. Mm-hmm. He said he'd never seen this happen before, but the Red Wings-Rangers game, Mo Sider got a delay of game penalty for shooting the puck over the boards, and he wasn't in his own zone. Mickey and Ken had no idea. That's Mickey Redman and Ken Daniels, my good buddies there, and they had no idea, and they had to go to the rule book. Have you ever heard of this before? Yeah, it's not called often. But if the referees interpret you to have just put the puck out of play on purpose,
mm-hmm.
and not accidentally, then they can issue a delay game penalty. And that, I believe, was the case with that situation. It's a black and white penalty in your own zone. If you put it over, whether you're intending to do it or not, you get penalized if it doesn't touch the glass going out. But if you're at center ice in the neutral zone, or if you're in the offensive zone, why you would ever do it, who knows? But if the officials deem you to intentionally stop play, then you can get a delay of game penalty.
I just my brain goes back to like Chris Pronger. Back in the day, just looking at coverage and deciding, eh, I'm going to throw it out of the out of play. I'm just going to do that.
Prongs is doing some great work on television right now, both in Canada and the United States. He'll be with us on the podcast again next week. He joins us every 2.5 months or so, and I just giggle because here's the best part about Prongs is there is a little filter. Mm-hmm. Like he knows what he can get away with, what he can say verbally.
Okay. Yeah.
But as far as the intentions of what he's saying, there is zero give a darn.
Okay.
None. Zero. And he's an MVP. He's a best defenseman. He's an Olympic champion. He's a Stanley Cup champion. Yeah. He can, and he knows it. Mm-hmm. He's never lacked confidence. And man, oh man, does he lean into that throughout. So I'm looking forward to it. I hope he gets more opportunities on the television side as we go forward because he's fun. And when he does insult somebody mm-hmm. or take a shot at somebody
sure,
or swat you, like me, yeah. If we're having a conversation, he's got the greatest giggle. He just laughs it off. It's like, and he laughs. And it's not like because I have a friend, Doug McLean, who will laugh and say, I'm kidding. Yeah. But he's not kidding. You know that.
Right.
Prongs laughs in a way of, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah, I'm really, Chris Pronger. Like,
what are you going to do about it? It's you got nothing. Absolutely nothing to come back from.
Have you tried to go back at him or no?
Prongs and I had a great rapport when he played, mm-hmm. and I would normally only cover his games when it was at a Stanley Cup final or a conference final.
Sure, okay.
Mostly a Stanley Cup final. And so we would go back and forth there, but I would never get into like a sparring match with him. I would ask a question, he would insult me, ask the question, and then I would laugh back and try and give him another shot. But there was always more people asking questions along the way, mm-hmm. so it never got to be a point where you could actually get into an exchange. And we see the game very similarly now. And I spent some time with Chris over the years, and it's actually hard to get into a battle with him because I agree with him a lot more than I disagree with him. One great night though, with Prongs, and I don't know how we got down this path, but do you remember the night that the Toronto Maple Leafs played the Carolina Hurricanes in Toronto? And Carolina lost both of its goaltenders, mm-hmm. and the E-Bug had to come in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Zamboni driver, he was like more than that, but everybody just gets like, what do you do for a living? The Chicago guy, Ferguson, was an accountant. So the accountant came in, and he was great against the Winnipeg Jets as an E-Bug. Sure. Well, the Maple Leafs in Toronto, that E-Bug was the one of the rink attendants at their practice facility, and then he would go out, and he would be their practice goalie, a little bit like what I do, but then he would also be the E-Bug. Mm-hmm. So Carolina lost both of its goaltenders in that game, and here comes emergency backup goaltender.
Yeah.
And Prongs and I, there was a game in Vegas that night, and we were downstairs in the media room together catching up, and this all happened right before our eyes. So we ended up watching this situation play out together. And man, oh man, listening to him watch a National Hockey League team like the Toronto Maple Leafs play against their own E-Bug,
right,
and then get beat by that E-Bug,
yeah,
was worth a lifetime's worth of entertainment. Like, it was invaluable to watch Prongs yell at the TV and say, Dick, just saying, screaming, shoot, like, why are you passing, shoot, and then getting frustrated, and every name in the book coming out, and it was outstanding entertainment. And he's like, why wouldn't you just crash the net, and why wouldn't you bother him as much as possible? Why would you ever pass the puck? It was I was disappointed that the night had to end, And that was like it was a 42-year-old emergency backup goaltender that came in, and David Ayers, by the way, was his name. Yeah. I think there might be a movie at some point to come out about
really?
That. Yeah, there was a script written.
Wow.
And because it was wild, because when he came in,
mm-hmm.
like it wasn't like with 7 minutes to go in that game.
No.
And he was able to lock it down. He stopped at 8 of 10 for a 6-3 win. Now they had a nice comfortable cushion.
Sure.
But
and it's Carolina. They know how to suppress shots.
Like honestly though, the National Hockey League's been very fortunate with E-Bugs. Mm-hmm. The performances by E-Bugs over the course of the few times that it's happened. And I don't know why, whether it's subconsciously the opposition feels like they don't want to take advantage of this person that's like living out a dream for mm-hmm. one, yeah. but also not a professional hockey player. But it's we haven't had one of those times where the E-Bug's gone in and allowed 7 on 9.
Right. Right.
And this is kind of like the last year for it before teams are able to pick their goals. I don't know how in-depth teams are going to go, by the way, with the practice goalie.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's good, but every team has a practice goalie already like that they call upon
right.
when one of their two goaltenders wants to take a day off. So they already have that person around. The only difference is that person will now be the sort of E-Bug.
Mm-hmm.
But how many times does the E-Bug really go in? Has it happened 5 times?
Yeah, it's rare.
Yeah.
It's not an everyday occurrence. You're not planning on it happening once or twice every single season. Like,
no.
It's very rare.
Everybody's talking about how it's going to be different going forward. I don't think it's going to be any different. To be honest, guys don't. And if teams have a concern about one of their two goaltenders being healthy, they're still going to call up the third guy,
sure,
and do an emergency recall. But that's my Pronger story. It was a long, winding route to get there.
Yeah.
But watching Prongs be so just distraught with the and upset with how the Toronto Maple Leafs played against the E-Bug. Was hilarious to watch.
It's funny in the context of like who Chris Pronger is, right? Like you mentioned it, right? He's won in the Olympics. He's won a Stanley Cup. Like he
might have run the E-Bug if he was in that game.
Like, listen, if you're in that position, you're living out a dream, and Chris Pronger's on the ice, and you don't get run, what are you even doing?
Or right? Like, what are you over? Or rattled or intimidated?
But it goes to show you like that primal instinct you have when you are watching a game and you're invested and you want every single puck to get to the goal. You want every single thing to go right for that team. Like the way you're describing it, like just shoot the puck and get it there because it's a Zamboni driver. It's a guy.
That should have been about the Toronto Maple Leafs comeback. Mm-hmm. Instead.
Yeah.
It was about the Zamboni driver.
Yeah. You're not wrong.
Hmm. Let's take a break. But when we come back, it's the Hockey Parlay Contest brought to you by Paul Padelaw. And we need a contestant, 702-876-1340. Which caller will participate in this week's Hockey Parlay Contest?
It's going to be caller number 12. Caller number 12, 702-876-1340.
Danny Smythe is standing by the Paul Padelaw Hockey Parlay Contest coming up next on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
This is the VGK Insider Show on Fox Sports Las Vegas, 98.9 FM and 1340 AM.
Let's get into it. It's Thursday. Normally we don't do this, but because the Vegas Golden Knights take on the New Jersey Devils tomorrow afternoon, pregame show at 3 o'clock on Fox Sports Las Vegas,
mm-hmm.
We won't have a show. So the Paul Padelaw Hockey Parlay Contest is moved up a day to make sure that we get it in and we get the opportunity to give away some cash. So three games coming up, and the contestant is Derek. And Derek, interesting spelling of your name, D-E-R-I-C-K. Anybody ever mispronounce that? Or are they just looking at you?
No mispronunciation on that, but definitely a lot of incorrect spelling. D-E-R-E-K, double R, D-A-R-E-K, I get it all.
Yeah, I've seen the double R before, and I've seen the double R-E-C-K, but this is good. We're going down a cool path today of exploring names that are spelled differently, but mean the same thing. You ready to do this?
Let's go.
First, Ryan's got some legal questions for you.
Yeah, it's always me. I'm the heavy. All right, Derek, you are a Nevada resident, 21 years of age or older, and have a valid Nevada driver's license or government-issued photo ID card and a valid Social Security number, correct?
That is all correct.
Awesome. Whew.
Because that's the first step.
Yeah, that's the first hurdle.
The hard part.
You cleared it.
$100 this week. We got three games for you. Let's go with Danny Smith with his game.
You did it. You said Danny Smith. Unreal. Smith. He's like not opening the mic.
All right, Danny Smythe. Do you want to offer your game?
Sure. All right. Let's go with St. Louis Blues at Ottawa Senators.
I will be taking the Senators in that game.
A lot of people wondering whether the St. Louis Blues are going to be trading some people and might knock them off their focus. So I like that pick. Ryan Wallace.
All right, Derek. I've got the Chicago Blackhawks at the Anaheim Ducks on Sunday.
This is more of a homer pick, but I'm going to go with the Blackhawks.
What's your allegiance to Chicago with the homer? Are you?
My wife is from Chicago.
Oh, nice.
And my brother-in-law as well.
Well, that makes sense. You know, even if you lose, That's a good pick for you, personally. That's solid. Like, just for the home life. And on Saturday, Winnipeg takes on Edmonton. It's an old Smythe Division matchup in honor of our good friend Danny Smith. What do you got, Winnipeg and Edmonton?
I will be taking the Oilers there.
Oilers played a little bit better. Winnipeg just coming off the road trip, and then they're back out there. So you've got the Senators to beat St. Louis at home, the Blackhawks on the road against Anaheim, and that's a rematch, by the way. And those two teams aren't fond of each other, Chicago and Anaheim. And then the Oilers to upend the Winnipeg Jets. I'll give you a chance to change any of those picks if you want. You don't have to.
Nope, let's lock them in.
All right, $100 going your way. If you are able to watch the Senators, Blackhawks, and Oilers be victorious, good luck, Derek.
Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Thanks for listening, and thanks for being a VGK fan. There is Derek with us on the VGK Insider Show on Fox Sports Las Vegas. I like the Ottawa pick.
Mm-hmm.
They're back home. Chicago, Anaheim, quite honestly, could go either way. Both have fallen off lately. Best player in that game? Ooh, it's Connor Bedard.
Connor Bedard, Leo Carlson.
Anaheim's pretty good.
Let's go. Too.
Goaltending favors Chicago because of where Anaheim is right now.
Yeah.
Good pick by the Blackhawks and Edmonton to beat Winnipeg.
They both need a win.
Yeah. I'm gonna go all three. Line up all three with Derek on that.
I'm going to go Anaheim over Chicago, and I'm going to go Winnipeg over Edmonton. So I'll take Ottawa, Anaheim, Winnipeg.
Smythe, where would you go on this?
Let's go. I'm going to go Senators, Blackhawks, and Jets.
No, so we're all different.
Yeah, all a little different. I feel better about my Winnipeg pick because Danny Smythe said he's going Winnipeg too.
Smythe's pretty good at this stuff.
He said it yesterday. He's a sharp guy.
Yeah,
not dull.
And it doesn't matter what sport.
No,
like the guy makes bank off pickleball.
Tuned in.
He's ready to go.
Oh yeah,
mountain bike racing. He's got it. I'm taking Bruce to win. Same. Hour number two of the VGK Insider continues. Stay with us on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Live from the Richard Harris Law Firm studios, this is the VGK Insider Show with Darren Millard and Ryan Wallace on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Got a 10-gamer in the National Hockey League underway. Vegas Golden Knights will be back on the ice tomorrow against the New Jersey Devils. They practice today at Prudential Center, and they have a couple of practices scheduled in and around the New York area, as they will go every second day on this trip. Tomorrow against the Devils, Sunday at MSG, New York Rangers trying to put two straight wins together at home. They're in action tonight. We'll bring you up to date with that in just a little bit. And then Tuesday, up against the New York Islanders. The trip will conclude with a stop against the Philadelphia Flyers and then the Columbus Blue Jackets to round out the five-gamers. Seven of the next eight on the road for the Vegas Golden Knights. And mentioned it earlier this week. They only play two more home games before Christmas, and one of them is on December 23rd, right before the break.
Yeah, it sure is. It's
going to happen fast. Like, we're going to get to the holiday break before nothing.
Yeah, it you're not wrong. And, you know, the thing for me is the one-off home game, right? Like, well, we saw it last month against the New York Rangers. We're going to get it again on the 17th against the
Winnipeg's
Devils.
Got that this week, too.
Yeah, it's... it's a weird quirk, but, you know, in a lot of different ways, you know, kind of the way that it's set up for the Golden Knights, you get back for a couple of days, then you play that game, and you don't have to go back out on the road for a couple of days as well. Like, it sets up well, but, you know, for Vegas, like, you're not wrong. Like, two more home games.
They were
before,
good with that game.
They were, yeah.
Earlier this year, though.
For sure. It's a 3-2 win over the Rangers, a game where I think the Golden Knights, you know, it was a little bit closer at the end, but... that was a really solid performance. So if you can kind of treat it in some way like a continuation of the road trip, and then you go back out on the road for a back-to-back over the weekend, like it's an interesting setup from a scheduling perspective, but it's a team. The Golden Knights were able to get a win the last time they had a one-off. Why not do it again?
I hadn't thought about it before I started working closely with a team, because my prior part of my career was on the national perspective, and you do two teams on a Wednesday night, and you go home, and you didn't really have a dog in the fight kind of thing. Much different with my role with the Vegas Golden Knights, and you look at it now and you go, okay, seven of eight are on the road, but it's really eight straight games in eight different places. Which is a different way to look at. I've never really taken that viewpoint of it until I started working with the VGK.
Yeah, I mean, you can view it as an eight-game road trip in some ways, right? Because you're not in the same place for more than two games in a row. So that's one way of kind of viewing it if you want to look at it that way. But yeah, I mean, it is an interesting one in that you don't see this very often, where you stop over at home just once or twice for a couple of games. Like, but you still have to win those games on home ice, right? Like, that's going to be the big thing for the Golden Knights. No matter what they do on this road trip, that home game against New Jersey is going to be incredibly important.
Even though they play at home in the middle end of this road trip, and we'll get to be around family in their own house, they'll spend more time in the same hotel room on this road trip, because it's the New York trip where you have a home base for the first three games of this trip. So they went out yesterday, they check in, and they are in the same hotel through the game on Tuesday night on Long Island. So that's the really cool part about this road trip, is you get to settle in, you unpack, you can kind of just... I don't use the drawers in hotels very often, the dresser very often. This would be one of those ones where, yeah, I'll unpack. I'll throw it in. I've done this trip before with the Vegas Golden Knights. It's kind of neat to be able to do that. And it's the only time I've ever used the drawers in a hotel before. Where I've taken everything out of the suitcase. Do you do that? Do you go full unpack even if you're there for a night?
Yeah, I genuinely just don't take anything out of the suitcase.
No, neither do I.
I just pull things out of the suitcase.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to, like, unpack.
I don't want to forget something.
Yeah, no, I don't want to unpack and then have to, like, pull things out of a drawer. I'll just pull it right out of the suitcase.
Yeah, so this is a different take on things. And then you've got the games that are going to lead us even closer to that Olympic announcement, and federations have to have their rosters in for the Olympic Winter Games on December 31st. Some will announce it as soon as January 1st. Others, I think, are holding off a little bit. So that is really ramping up in players' minds and the different federations. Team Canada, I know, has a big meeting next week to finalize really down to a couple of positions on its roster. And USA Hockey, I think, is just a couple of days later with what they're doing. So it's sort of hovering there in the background to go along with what is a big road trip for the Vegas Golden Knights. Let's go to New Jersey at the Prudential Center, where the Vegas Golden Knights were able to practice today ahead of that game tomorrow night against the New Jersey Devils. Jamie Hirsch got a chance to speak with head coach Bruce Cassidy.
We're here for what, about a week or so? You guys get to unpack, they get to go to team dinners, things like that. What can a trip like this at this point of the season do for the team?
I think it's good timing. We spent a lot of time at home in November. Great family time, Thanksgiving. I imagine people were in to visit. Now they're kind of get to be their second family, you know, every day. And so I think the timing is good. The longer ones can get to you, I think, in season, but this one came at the right time. I think everyone likes coming to New York. There's lots to do for everybody. It's an easy city to walk around. As I say, if you're into shows, whatever, there's no shortage of restaurants, and so it's a good stop. And as you said, we stay in one spot. Like, you're five different cities and whatever, eight and pack and unpack, and that there's. I know that I'm sounding a little bit. I don't know, what, but it's kind of nice to be able to travel and hang up your clothes and not just sort of pack before you leave, but okay, what's the last outfit I'm going to wear goes in the bottom and work your way up. So that's a nice perk too.
What are some of your favorite things to do at Christmas time in New York City?
Well, I used to do the skating rink outside of, is it Rockefeller by the NBC building, right? Yeah. Or whatever, yep, right there, the big tree. When I would visit Julie's family, did that a lot, especially when our kids were younger. So I would say that was probably one of the best, and one of the Nutcracker shows. My daughter's school's put one on this year, so I might be able to get to it in Vegas, but I doubt I'd get to it here.
Back-to-back wins for you guys. What would you like to see in terms of a next step of progression for this team?
Closer to 60 minutes. Again, the other night, we got the first goal, which should have given us juice, and then I thought Chicago was better than us for about 5, 6, 7 minutes, where we gave up a 3-on-2 goal, a 2-on-1 chance. There was a breakaway, I think, in there or two. So a little bit tough on Carter to go in and face high-end chances like that right away. He came through it great. And maybe sometimes for a goalie, that's what they want, but that's not what a coach wants. So that part of our game, you know, tidy those up against those speed teams. That happened a bit to Anaheim, Utah, when we were up there the time we lost. So we got to be mindful of that. But again, it's just our overall game. Get into it quicker, be in there longer. I know it sounds like a broken record, but to me, that's every team's challenge, to get to 60 minutes. You can play 45, 50 good minutes in December. I think you're going to do very well, and that's kind of, you know, what hopefully our goal will be this month.
When I look at Thomas Hertl this year, like, he seems so consistent, more so than maybe in the past. I'm curious what you see when you watch him play and what he's given to you guys.
Yeah, so I'm going to go from when he got here, less than maybe San Jose, because I was in Boston a lot of those years, so I didn't see him as much. So when he got here, I think he's healthier now than he was. He's had a knee injury they had to play through. So I think his pace is better because of that. I think he's just more comfortable in his skin with the team, how we play, how we, you know, what we demand of our centers. So he's become a better 200-foot player. Offensively, he's still the same player. He hangs on to a lot of pucks. He's hard to get it from. He gets to the dirty areas. Power play, I think, is a benefit to him, because we build, like, if he's not our one option, he's 1B, him and Pav. So going into games, knowing that he's getting an opportunity to score, I think it excites him too. Yeah. So, but we're looking at more of the 200-foot games. He's got some young, you know, Assad's there now, but it's Pav on one side, who he's been with, you know, a lot, usually younger winger. So we're asking him to lead a little bit more in that area.
I'd love a question for you. I know you're an assistant on the staff, but what is this like, sort of the end of this process of figuring out a roster and you know, an extra month compared to last year with the Four Nations? What is this like, sort of your role in with John and
for
Doug?
Me, that, you know, there's, those are the GM's decision, you know,
sure.
They make the roster decisions, obviously, but to, I guess to answer your question, there's a little bit of input from us on players that we see a lot, obviously the Vegas guys, but after that, it's, you know, we don't have a lot to say. Our coaches is more areas. What are we doing in our areas? Let's have all those buttoned up, so when what we'll end up doing, and I'm not trying to give anything away here, is we'll blast out like the videos to the guys once the team's picked, like on our areas of the, you know, breakouts, D-zone, whatever, to give them a little head start where they want to look at it now on the way, playing, you know, on the plane on the way over, so they have a little head start. That's what we're meeting and talking about, how we're going to play. And obviously some of that revolves around the personnel, right. But at the end of the day, I think we all have a pretty good idea what the 14 or so guys, it's towards the end that sometimes I'm doing the power play, so, you know, is this player going to, you know, have a, and he's a left stick versus a right, so those little things, you know, when you're building that, you know, that those things matter. Who can take the draw in the second unit? I know Crosby and McDavid are going over the first unit. There's no secrets there. So, and McKinnon and McCarr, those guys. But the next one, who's it going to be? So that's a little bit of the conversation for every guy's area. And if Pete's doing the PK, then it's, you know, who would be the killer? You know, so that's kind of what our meetings revolve around.
Do you sense the Olympics seeping in to the room at all?
No, like, I don't, actually. I don't. I talk to the guys, a couple of them, because we have some guys that, you know, that haven't been, Jack's been named, and I'm sure Marner will be, you know, I don't want to speak out of turn, but, but you know, the guys that may be on the bubble. Theo got hurt, so he's probably, at the start of the year, he's probably wondering, well, I got to play great to, you know, it's not just be yourself, you know, and Hanny's in that mix, and so there's different guys. So we'll talk, I'll talk to them more individually a bit about it. But no, I don't, the guys aren't talking about, you know, travel logistics. Read an article about the rink the other day. Like, we're aware that they're behind schedule a little bit, but we're all assuming that that'll all be taken care of. I don't think the players worry too much about that.
Yeah, no, I was more curious when a guy does hit a skid. Like, you just talked about injuries, you know, about Theo being injured and stuff like that. There's such a short runway where it impacts their game. Like, they try and play outside of
themselves. Yeah, yeah, no, I don't disagree. I bet there's a, I would say, you know, there's a lot of, you know, so I don't know every, but say Canada and U.S., for example, there's probably 10, 12 guys in the bubble that are, it's going through their head every night. Oh, I wonder who's here tonight. Is that, you know, we're playing, so if it's Canada, we're playing St. Louis, Army's there, I got to be good. You know what I mean? I'm sure, I think it's human nature. I don't know how you don't put it in your head, to be honest with you. Even the guys that might be on it might want to play well to say, hey, I deserve to be picked. So I think that's perfectly normal and just part of the process for every country that's got guys that feel like they've got their chance. So, yeah, like I said, I don't know what you do about that other than just try to play, but that's a tough one.
Would you agree that because of the added responsibility that you've given Theo this year, that you could actually consider him even more valuable than he has been in the past?
Well, I would think it's automatic he's more valuable because his defensive metrics are higher than they've ever been. And he's going there to, you saw the last game. I mean, if you're thinking about, okay, who can I trust in a tie game and the gold medal game, if, you know, and you see how he's defending, that there's not much going on. You need players like that. You're not, in the past, he had more points from the power play. As you know, this year with five guys, he's not on the first unit, so he's not going to have those points. So I think that's where Theo's really bought in. It's like, okay, well, I'm going to make it by, I'm still going to be a great first pass guy. Can get my assist by moving the puck, but I'm going to defend because I want to be trusted to play in all situations. And every player over there is an elite player, so you have to be on top of it defensively. So, yes.
So he was like, you know, 10 seconds a game in penalty kill last year, and this year he's like a minute 27. The ability to clear the puck, like the other night he got a couple pucks and quickly was able to get them all the way down. It's something that you know, just kind of assume when you get the puck you can clear it, but it's not that easy, is it?
No, and that
is really good at it.
That is the Petro, once you got a stick on, it was usually getting down, but that is the argument about, some people say, okay, when they assume a player is a defensive guy and hard, that, oh, he's going to be a great penalty killer. Well, yeah, he can block shots, and yeah, he's willing to get under sticks, but can he get to a loose puck and clear it? And that does more for a penalty kill than, I mean, a lot of things, right? Now, you know, you get fresh legs on the ice, they got to go 200 feet, they're a little frustrated. So the ability to clear a puck is, I think, is the most underrated thing for a skilled defenseman. When you talk about, okay, why is the guy on the power penalty kill? It's usually because of that. He can get to pucks, and he has the composure and the hands to find a lane and get it down. And Theo's done a great job of that. He's done a fantastic job. And that's, you know, when Lozy, he's gotten a bit of a, because of Lozy's injury, we're going to use Lozy a little more. And I think we always had the intention of using Theo this year, build it into his game when we knew Petro wouldn't be back. Now he's even get more of a chance.
There's Bruce Cassidy post-practice as the Vegas Golden Knights got back on the ice today at Prudential Center in New Jersey. Good for the equipment staff, too, because they were able to get to New York and get out to New Jersey, unpack everything, and then they're there. The equipment's there for three nights before they have to pack it up and go around. That's the challenge. The team and the players and the staff all can stay in the same hotel, but what do you do with all that gear? You got to find a way to either keep it in one spot or have a location for it to be able to move it around and get the practice ice time. It's funny, mm-hmm. New York's such a great place, but there's not a lot of rinks around and not a lot of facilities that are of the NHL caliber to be able to walk in and have a practice, and mm-hmm. not just have a practice, but when you're a NHL team, you have a lot that goes with that, with the crates and the different gear that beyond just the player's equipment. So it's a bit of a juggling act every year on this trip, and by not having any back-to-backs, it makes it a touch easier to navigate for Scott Boggs and that great equipment staff with the Vegas Golden Knights medical staff as well, but they just don't have as much stuff that they have to pack up and shepherd around and air out. You want to make sure that everything's dried out for the next day. The Vegas Golden Knights do have ice available to them in New York on the Saturday and the Monday, if they choose to use it, might be an optional, might mm-hmm. be just a handful of guys, or they might take the whole day off as well. It is cool. Jamie talked about the trip and just what guys do. Alec Martinez, when he played for the Vegas Golden Knights, was famous for grabbing a few guys and going to a show.
Mm-hmm.
He would do that every time that they rolled through New York on this trip. That was one of the cool parts. Other guys will just go walking the city. I know that the team has done a trip down to Ground Zero and the Memorial mm-hmm. in the past, and or go to down to Times Square or Central Park. So there's such a multitude of offerings for players. They're like every other person.
Sure.
Get to New York, you want to experience it a little bit, and this trip allows you to do it.
Yeah, if it were me, it'd be the walk-in tour of the city. Like I would try to walk everywhere. I'd try to see as many things as possible. Central Park would be high up on the priority list, but you know, I like nature and parks, so that's.
I did a 5K run.
Did you?
In Central Park during a Stanley Cup. I'm doing the LA. New York Rangers Stanley Cup Final,
yeah,
2014.
Yeah.
I'm not a runner.
Sure.
But I thought, I'm in New York, go to Times Square, do a 5K and just do it for the sake of doing it through Central Park. If it was anywhere else,
right.
I wasn't doing a 5K run that day.
No.
But it was Central Park, so why not do a 5K run? But it was funny trying to navigate my way around going, okay, I don't want to end up way over here. And then have to walk back.
Okay, so when you said I did a 5K run, I thought you meant like it was an actual like event.
No.
Like
no.
a 5K event.
No,
you're like,
gosh,
I just went out for a 5 kilometer run.
Yeah.
I realized that you're Canadian, so you think in kilometers. I get it.
Well, because that's what it was then. That's the way I approached it with the Ks versus Ms.
3.1 miles.
3.1 miles, yeah. I deal with that all the time. Same with Celsius and Fahrenheit.
Mm-hmm.
The
interesting part that jumped out at me from the availability from Bruce today was talking about the penalty kill and defenseman and how just because you're a defensive-minded defenseman doesn't automatically transition or translate into being a great penalty killer. Because if you can't get to loose pucks, you're putting yourself into more danger, giving the other team opportunities. And I'd never thought of it that way.
Yeah, I think the bit there on, you know, Shea Theodore specifically in how he's able to help this team kill penalties was really insightful in the sense that it's multifaceted to try to clear a puck out of the zone. And so often, right, like we will watch a penalty kill, we will see a player get back to a puck, and if they're unable to get the puck out, then 30, 40 seconds go by and, you know, you're in infinitely more danger. But if you're able to make that quick read or you're able to get to the puck quickly because of your skill set, and then you can find the way to get it out of the zone, it makes it that much easier on your penalty kill as a whole. And you know, from a skill perspective, Shea Theodore has all the assets you'd expect for a player to be able to get to a puck and get a clear. But it doesn't always mean it's automatic. Like when you think about Alex Pietrangelo on the penalty kill, he gets a puck, it's out of the zone. And Shea Theodore is starting to kind of have those layers to his game as well.
We've got one-timers, news notes from around the National Hockey League coming up. I also want to know on the text line, 702-876-1340, when you hear the name S-M-Y-T-H, do you go Smith or Smythe? Danny's working the show today.
You're leaning into this one hard.
I'm just curious. I don't know a lot of people that would go Smythe there, but I don't want to influence people either. Let us know. 702-876-1340 coming up with the latest from the National Hockey League on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Carlson left corner, centered, one-timer, score!
It's time for One-Timers. One-timers. A quick look at news and notes from around the National Hockey League. Brought to you by Paul Padilaw. It's not about the injury, it's about the recovery.
Before we get into it, we've got some tickets to give away.
Sure do.
Little Hoops, see your UNLV Runner Rebels taking on Fresno. When is it? And what call number do we want? 702-876-1340.
It is December 20th. UNLV Runner Rebels, Fresno State. Caller number... You know what? I'm going to go caller number 13. Lucky number 13. 702-876-1340. You're going to see the UNLV Runner Rebels and Fresno State.
Danny Smythe is answering the phones right
there
now.
There it is.
I want to know. When
why,
you hear SM,
why are you hung up on this?
S-M-Y-T-H.
Yeah.
Smythe or Smith? I'm totally Smith on
yeah.
this.
Okay. So, funny inside baseball story here. I hired Danny. Like, he applied to work in the department that I was running way back in the day.
Yeah.
And I got the application, and I gave him a call. And I said, hey, is this Danny Smith? And he's like, no, it's not. I'm like, oh, okay, I've got the wrong number. He's like, no, you got the right number. It's Danny Smythe.
Oh,
yeah.
But he didn't know that you were calling about the job.
No, he had no idea.
I wonder. He's taking the caller right now, so he can't answer this. But I wonder if he would have just went along with, yeah, that's me, if he knew that you were phoning about the job. Yeah.
I think there's like one thing. Well, there might be a few things, but one thing Danny takes very seriously in this life, and it's the correct pronunciation of his last name.
Do you think he's mad at me because I've been calling him Smith?
Do I think? I don't think I know.
Really?
I'm in the room with him. I'm seeing him every single time you're saying Smith. He's rolling his eyes.
Oh, he's just
getting more and more angry.
But that's
he shook his fist the other time.
That's annoyed, but is he mad?
No, he's mad.
That's awesome.
I can honestly tell you, I think he's like perturbed by it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Danny,
you're getting under his skin.
That's so good.
Yeah.
Good. Makes him pay attention more.
I thought it was pretty bold, though. Like, Danny. Is this Danny Smith? No, it's not. Oh, okay. I'll call you back later. No. You got the right guy. You just said my name wrong. Mm-hmm. And that was how our professional relationship started. It was bold. I liked it. I applaud him. You know, in what I was hiring him for, you have to have a little bit of a, you know, a backbone, thick skin, whatever you want to call it. Well done.
Yeah. Let's see some backbone right now, Danny. Come on.
What do you want?
Get on the air. Give it to me. We're just wondering
how mad you are.
Whether you're actually ticked off or whether you're just annoyed.
No, because I know you're... I know you well enough to know that it's a bit and you're not doing it on purpose. But like, if somebody actually knew what my last name was and just went out of their way to call me by the wrong pronunciation,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
After probably two or three times, I'm saying, hey, you know what you're doing.
Cool it.
And it's not a bit.
Have you ever like come to blows with somebody about the pronunciation of your last name?
No. But
ever push somebody?
No, but I make sure close? That they know what the name is.
Yeah, you've been close.
No, because really, I think Darren is maybe like one of two or three people who like do it as a bit. Like I don't know anybody who's ever gone out of their way to purposely say it wrong.
Like you told me, you corrected me one time. That was it.
Yeah,
all we needed.
And now, that's usually what I do. I say okay, just. So that we're clear going forward, it's not Smith, it's Smythe. So just keep that
in
mind.
When Ryan phoned you
yeah.
about the job
yeah.
and you corrected him that it's not Smith, it's Smythe, would you have done that if you had known he was calling about the job? Or would you just went along with it and then told him later?
No, I would have still done that even with the job.
You still would have. Good for you.
Because I also think that it's your boss should know what your name is.
Throwing it on me.
Like it,
yeah.
If Ryan. If they pronounce it wrong, it is actually, I think it's the employer's job. Well, not hey. Job, but duty to make sure that people know your name correctly.
All I'm saying is I wanted to interview you, buddy. Jeez.
And good it worked out. I've yeah. been here for yeah. over 4 years.
A lot of time.
Yes.
A lot of time has passed.
What about the first name? Did people change it to Dan and you go, no, it's Danny?
Very rarely.
Do you prefer Daniel to Danny?
No.
No, there's, it's Danny.
No, it isn't.
There's only one person that ever calls me Daniel yeah. outside of like my fiance and my mom when I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
There's only one person that calls me that. There's only two or three people that call me Dan and everybody else calls me Danny.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter to you, or you prefer it to be Danny?
I prefer Danny, but I'm not like with my first name. It's not as big a deal as my last name.
I went through a college class an entire semester with the teacher thinking my name was Zach. I don't know how that happened. Yeah, I don't know how that happened. I became Zach in his eyes, and you know I meant to correct him, but at the end of the day, I was like, ah. Music theory. No one really cares about this.
Was it?
So
a,
I was Zach for a semester.
Was it a class with with enough people that you didn't really have contact with them too much?
Oh no, it was like maybe 20 kids.
Oh, okay.
It was a pretty small class, so it got like uncomfortable and awkward because at the end of the end of the semester, he's like, "Who's this Ryan guy? Like, I don't have a grade for him." I was like, "Oh no, it's me. I'm not Zach." And it was super awkward at the end of the semester.
That's sad that
no,
they didn't know your name.
It didn't matter. It was fine.
That breaks my heart.
It was a music theory class, Darren. Yeah. Like almost 18 years ago.
I take offense that for you.
I didn't remember that class very much.
See, all of my music classes were there were probably 150 students in each class. So I never once talked to a single one of my music teachers.
I would show up to class, and I didn't know what my name was, so it's fine. It's all good.
Daniel Smith.
No.
Come to the front.
It's not Daniel Smith.
Come to the front and greet the class. Daniel Smith.
Zach.
Sorry, Millard.
And then he goes.
No, it's Millsy.
No, I know.
We've established that
Mallard?
His... No, not Mallard's Mallard.
Perfect.
Darren with two R's. And the nickname is Millsy. If you want to get under his skin, needle him a little bit, it's Millsy.
The two R's thing is just... People that put the two R's in after a while,
mm-hmm.
it's like, come on. Let's get... And I've worked at places that have still fonted me with two R's because there's a new person doing the Chiron. It's like, come on, really?
See, I'm gonna do what you did in our text, and you put the E in parentheses. Yeah. I'm gonna put a second R in parentheses. Yeah, yeah.
Totally. That's good.
Or just go with the like email spelling of Darren, D A R R I N. There might have been an E in there as well. I don't know.
It was the worst addition or a try of my name was the Lotus Broadcasting email account that I set up. Music theory, Zach? Explain the rating system. Gilbert wants to know.
Okay. Rating system.
Is it Gilbert or Gilbert? Oh, well, it's Martine.
I think it's supposed to be Gilbert.
Okay, is that Gilbert or is it Martine? Because that's one of those names where you could be like, is the first name second? Or is the first name first?
I think it's pretty clearly the first name is Gilbert.
Why is it spelled Gickbert?
Because it's probably a typo when he signed up. I don't know. Maybe his name is Gickbert.
I've never heard of Gickbert. Hey, Gickbert, reply to this. Is your name Gilbert? Is it Gickbert or is it Martine?
That's my favorite thing you've ever said on this show. What? Who is Gickbert?
Names just come up like as a sign to your phone. You don't put in your name. Like when I reply to the text line, I don't say, hey, Darren, saying Darren's awesome. My name automatically comes up. That's how you guys know that I'm giving myself a compliment.
Right, right.
So Gickbert.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to try to compose myself right now. Gickbert, the game rating system's 80s one-hit wonders, but it isn't the best one-hit wonders of the 80s. It is song titles that are appropriate with the corresponding game rating. So a 5 out of 5, best you can get, is Believe It or Not, I'm Walking on Air. That's Joey Scarberry. A 4 out of 5, Party All the Time, Eddie Murphy. 3 out of 5, Relax, Frankie Goes to Hollywood. 2 out of 5, Don't Worry, Be Happy. That's Bobby McFerrin. And a 1 out of 5 is Died in Your Arms Tonight, Cutting Crew. It's there Gilbert, by the way.
It is. Did they just send?
Yeah. Gickbert just said it's Gilbert. I can't.
Gickbert. That's pretty good. I don't know why. Okay, I apologize, Gilbert.
Yeah, because you couldn't have just assumed it was Gilbert. Wow.
I would have assumed it was Smith, not Smythe. Look where that got me. The Pittsburgh Penguins have a 3-0 lead tonight over the Tampa Bay Lightning, and no Andrei Vasilevsky dressing for this game, although he is expected to make his next scheduled start. They're not reading or making too much of this. There's a bit of a soft trend of when number ones don't play, that they're not dressing at all. Seattle's gone down this path with Joey DeCord.
Yeah.
Tampa didn't expressly state they were doing that tonight, but they're saying he's not hurt and nothing. It's nothing too egregious that he's going to miss any starts. But the Pittsburgh Penguins have the lead. And scoring in this one, Ville Koivunen, Evgeny Malkin, and Ben Kindel, who's a great story with the Pittsburgh Penguins. What do you think? Now, this is an opportunity for hockey. What do you think his nickname is? It's Ben Kindle is
Ben
his name.
Kindle? It should be Fire.
Or E-Reader or something like that.
No, not
but
E-Reader.
But you know what it is?
What is it?
Kindy.
Kindy.
Yeah.
Kindy?
Yeah. That's like the hockey from the Hockey Nickname Factory.
Oh.
But what a great opportunity. Where's number 81? And he's just off to a fantastic start to his career. Pittsburgh Penguins have that 3-0 lead
Kindy.
Right now. There's some talk about Pittsburgh's got 3 goaltenders going.
Sure. Yeah.
There's some talk about possibly moving one of those goaltenders to the Edmonton Oilers or the Winnipeg Jets, but I haven't seen more of it lately. Eric Comrie was great for Winnipeg last night in a shootout loss against the Montreal Canadiens. But Ben Kindle, where's number 81? Blues getting trounced by the Boston Bruins tonight, 5-1. A lot of chatter online about how many scouts are in attendance at this game, watching the
believe, the St. Louis Blues for any potential trade action. So see if one goes to the other. There's scouts at every game, people.
It's my favorite.
Scouts are at every game. Now, this sounds like there might be a few more, but they do, like the eastern side, Boston has a very popular place for scouts to get in and out of. But that's the scuttlebutt in the business right now, is that a lot of scouts, professional scouts, are watching the St. Louis Blues tonight. You may not see a trade, though, happen. Mm-hmm. If the Blues continue like this, the scouts may say, we don't want that guy.
Yeah, yeah, no, you guys can keep the
St. Louis Blues are playing, gave up two in the first and three more in the second, trying to see just exactly who started in goal.
Jordan Binnington.
And is he still in the game?
He is still in the game, yeah.
So I wouldn't say it was a bounce-back performance by Jordan Binnington in this game.
No.
He was down again 2-0 basically halfway through the first period. He was about a minute longer than when he got pulled the other night. He's another guy.
Yeah.
That could be, if they decide to sell, okay. And there's a buyer there looking for a goaltender, he's not a candidate for Winnipeg.
Right.
But an Edmonton, he's got some trade protection too.
You like Jordan Binnington. I like Jordan Binnington. We have all kind of settled on, listen, when it matters, Jordan Binnington finds another gear. Is that, in your mind, enough of an upgrade over Stuart Skinner?
Well, Stuart's played well lately.
Well, right, but if the Oilers are looking at goalies, I'm assuming that it's going to be whoever they bring in for Stuart Skinner.
You want to stand the cup? Yeah, I'd make that deal. Like, it depends on what you're doing. Like, are you swapping Stuart for Jordan Binnington? Mm-hmm. What's Edmonton throwing in to sweeten the pot?
Yeah.
Because there's got to be more to it than just
to it, yeah.
That.
But I mean, it's been a really tough year for Jordan Binnington. That's the concern that I would have. Like,
and they're not out of it either. Although it's
Edmonton,
St. Louis or Edmonton.
Oh yeah, no, I mean, no one's really out of it outside of Nashville.
Edmonton,
and Calgary.
Edmonton's got more Stanley Cup hopes. Rangers lead the Ottawa Senators 3-1 tonight. The Panthers have a 1-0 lead. Carter Verhaeghe has scored. That's in the second period against the Nashville Predators. Keep an eye on them.
Mm-hmm.
And the Islanders up on the Colorado Avalanche 4-2 as they play late in the second period. Colorado in danger of losing in regulation for just the second time this year. And the Toronto Maple Leafs won two of their last three.
Mm-hmm.
Starting to find their rhythm. Austin Matthews has a goal tonight. And they lead the Carolina Hurricanes 4-1. That game's in Carolina. Funny, we were talking about David Ayers earlier, and coming in as the E-Bug. And
oh, look at that.
Beating the Toronto Maple Leafs. Well, the Maple Leafs have a 4-1 lead tonight. That was a few years ago, the David Ayers thing. Columbus up on the Detroit Red Wings 2-1. That's your action so far tonight in the National Hockey League. Should also mention that Ryan McDonagh has signed an extension with the Tampa Bay Lightning. So that's great for him. He went to Nashville, not his choice, and then came back to Tampa. He's done a really nice job there. Gets a 3-year extension for the 36-year-old defenseman. So he's still going. AAV around 4.1.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very solid. And Kucherov has just scored there, so it's 3-1 in favor of the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Tampa's cooking.
Yeah.
And just to kind of go back to the idea of Vasilevsky not dressing in a game that he's not starting, I think I like it. I might be in the minority. I'm not really sure how people feel about it, but like, if you're not going to play and you have the wherewithal to dress somebody else so that, you know, depending on what happens in the game, you're not tempted to throw Andrei Vasilevsky out there. I like the idea of, you know what, your number one, especially a guy like Vasilevsky, true day off in that regard.
I'm a traditionalist.
Fine.
I like guys backing up if they're not playing.
I don't care all that much. I think you get them a little bit of rest, get them away from the rink. That's the way to do it. Especially with how much he played
76 games. He didn't take the nights off. He was backing up those four games.
Yeah, he's older now. Come on.
But there was only four games.
Yeah. Well, true.
That was an option for it. Those are one-timers. News notes from around the National Hockey League. We'll be back. Maybe we'll talk to Daniel as we continue on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
This is the VGK Insider Show on Fox Sports Las Vegas, 98.9 FM and 1340 AM.
That's got me the last 2 days where I started talking.
Yeah.
I give it a beat, and it doesn't happen, and then I go, well played, Danny. Well played. I've chirped you all day today. And you got me. You weren't even intending to, but you got me. So I just want to congratulate you.
Thanks. I'll take that as a victory.
That's a win for you. Scheduling update. Because the Golden Knights are on the East Coast, games will start earlier. We've got some 4 o'clock face-offs coming your way. So the VGK Insider Show will be preempted a few times coming up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no show tomorrow, obviously. And then next week, we'll be on the air with the VGK Insider Show on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. No shows on Tuesday and Thursday. So VGK Insider Show, Monday, Wednesday, Friday next week. No VGK Insider Show Tuesday and Thursday, but I'll be on every single day next week.
Hold on. What are you going to do in your days off on Tuesdays and Thursdays?
I'm going to do
tomorrow.
I'm going to do the pregame show starting at 3 p.m. Yep, 3 p.m.
Because some people think that you do have days off. Like in the sense, because there's no insider show, Ryan's got the day off.
You know who did have a day off back in the day? It was Chapman. Chapman had those days off.
And he didn't even mind.
No.
Even though he wasn't getting hours.
Yeah.
He was like, it's great. I got the day off. I'm like, Chapman, you're not getting paid. That's okay.
We would always ask, like, oh, are you going to do something else at the station? No.
No.
No, I'm just going to take the day.
You're going to work on the show? Like, maybe create some bits, some production, some pre-production, and like brainstorm some stuff? No. No. You'd probably get paid if you did that, if you came in and put some real production value into the show.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fine. I'll take the day.
I'll see.
You're not getting paid, Chapman. That's okay.
It's okay. I'll talk to you guys on Monday. It's fine. Yeah.
That was unbelievable.
I miss that guy.
Yeah. that's one way to phrase it.
That's well done.
Like he there is an absence to not having him around.
Yeah.
I think that might be the better way to put it. Like,
listen,
it is different.
It was never dull with him. That's for sure. Like, you never knew what you were going to get, but it was never dull.
Danny?
Darren?
You worked with Chapman. How would you describe? And you do basically, you do the same job. How do you describe the difference between your approach and Chapman's approach?
I'll be honest. When I had my show on ESPN, I would be gone before he left. I maybe saw him once a month.
What a cop out.
No, I'm serious. There would be times where I would go 3-4 weeks without seeing Chapman. I wasn't even sure he worked here anymore.
To be honest, this is the first time, like, this is the most I've seen you, Danny, since you worked for me.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah. Hmm.
Do you consider that a lucky stretch when you would go 3-4 weeks like that?
Danny? Not necessarily.
Like you were on a roll?
I don't think so. We work complete opposite shifts.
Yeah. Danny liked Chapman. A lot of people like Chapman.
Very interesting person. Super interesting. Have a good show tomorrow. It's the pregame show, 3 o'clock, ahead of the New Jersey Devils, the Vegas Golden Knights, and Fox Sports Las Vegas.